Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgi Jorgensen. And today's guest is Meg Roy, who is the president of the leadership group at Lurie Beskoff Lapidus & Company, a Twin Cities consulting and accounting firm. Thanks for being with us today, Meg.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Our topic today is the Selling Skills Assessment Tool, which is part of the Predictive Index. As you know, we did a prior podcast with Marshall Lehman about Predictive Index, and I'm a believer. I've never believed in those things, but I took the test 6 or 7 years ago, and one of your partners at Lurie called me, whom I didn't know. And then he gave me about 15 minutes on who I am, and we'd never met. And from that point on, I believe.
He won't tell, though, what it was.
they won't tell me the bad parts. They just said, okay, you do this and you do that, and they nailed it. In any case, can you just walk us through Predictive Index, what it is, and why it's important to business owners?
Predictive Index is a motivational and personality survey that assesses people's DNA, really, when it comes down to who they are and how they work in the business environment. Past behavior can, in fact, be predicted based on a very quick 10 to 15 minute survey that doesn't take a lot of forethought or a lot of preparation. You just sit down and do it, and you get the results.
It's really astonishing because it's you can take the assessment, you can make your choices of the descriptive words on both sides in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I said, this cannot work. But obviously, when I got that call.
People are astounded, actually, at how simple it is. And because we now administer the test online, it makes it really easy to distribute it. We work with 140 countries, and we do the test in 62 languages, including Braille.
Oh, my.
So there is a very good correlation to people's language and culture and dialect in taking the survey and how the words resonate with different people.
So this test gives a business owner the opportunity to do a quick, simple assessment of a potential employee and put them in a position where they have the best chances to succeed.
Absolutely. There's a real focus these days in the marketplace on capitalizing on people's strengths. The reason for doing that, obviously, is that they're better motivated in the job environment to do a good job. They're in a situation where they can succeed instead of being in a situation where they're constantly frustrated and not being as productive as they could be.
And the other side of it is that it gives some insight to the employer or the supervisor as to who those employees are and how to manage and react with them.
Actually, the survey is excellent for not only hiring people, but when the team gets together, the division or the group that you're working with, to sit down with those people and share your Predictive Index results so that you can better avoid any kind of conflicts in the group, and you can also better manage to people's skill level.
Now, would you be able to tell if it's better, if a person's better in a certain industry or as opposed to a certain job or a certain life cycle of the company?
That's a really good question, Sam, because there are some biases, for instance, on what a good CPA might be.
Mm-hmm.
Or in my case, what a good marketing person might be. The fact of the matter is that nobody is really perfect in their job.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certainly positions that people can aspire to. And if you look at that position and compare it to your predictive index analysis, you can see whether you have the aptitude and you're predisposed to be good at that job, or how much effort is it going to take.
Okay.
As far as training and coaching and supervision to be good at that job. Most people, given a choice, would choose to do something they're good at, right?
Of course.
However, there's certain times in people's careers where they have to do things that may not particularly align with their strengths and their aptitude. The nice thing about using predictive index in the workplace ongoing, even after you're hired, particularly as we're downsizing so much in the economy right now, if you have to downsize, you want to be able to look at the strengths and aptitudes of the people you have, because you know what? The people left are going to be doing more. And so there's often a post-downsizing time at a company where it's really helpful if the other teammates know the kinds of skills that you have, if, in fact, they haven't worked with you before.
Mm-hmm. So it helps them relate to each other and figure out who's best at doing which tasks.
It's a fantastic tool for team building, conflict resolution, career development, and also a great tool for succession planning. If, in fact, you're downsizing and you have to reorg your department or your company, this is a great tool for tapping unmined resources in the firm.
To help you find the future leaders of the firm and put them in a position and train them so that they can eventually take over those positions.
Absolutely. And it's fantastic in a merger and acquisition. It's absolutely a critical piece of that.
Well, and I could also see if you're trying to look at people who you really want to keep and trying to push, you know, not push them, but move them to another position, mm-hmm. and where they would be strong and may have grown into a new position unbeknownst to you.
There's actually a great story in our firm, because Predictive Index has been around since 1955, and Lurie Bezukhov-Lapidus became the Minnesota licensor for Predictive Index 35 years ago. Marshall Bezukhov, one of the founders, was fingered to be the manager of the firm at the time, and Marshall told me this story himself. It's just so wonderful. And he said, I didn't want to be the manager of the firm. I didn't want to run the firm. I wanted to be a CPA. And so David Lurie brought in Predictive Index, and they all took the survey. And sure enough, Marshall Bezukhov was not the best person to run the firm. And he goes, it saved my life 35 years ago. I just think it's terrific. And the firm uses it today for everybody, every hire, from interns and first-year students right out of college who haven't even got their CPAs yet and they're studying for it. But the firm is trying to zero right in on their aptitude for the business and their skill level as accountants.
Meg, in my mergers and acquisitions practice, I've talked to, of course, thousands of business owners over the last 35 years. But the single biggest problem they have is finding good people and keeping good people. And once you understand Predictive Index, that really goes beyond finding good people and keeping good people. Most people are good. You just need to put them in a position where they can be happy and succeed. The second toughest thing they all tell me is, how do you find that true salesperson, and put them out there? More often than not, they've found an account exec, someone that's very good at taking care of an account when you've already got it, but they're just, it's dreadful to them to go out and try to make a sales call, a cold call, if you will. Now, this predictive index helps you identify people that are true salesmen. But then when we take it to the next level with your selling skills assessment tool, then that helps us take a look at your sales manager and your sales team and find out, are they really salespeople, and what are their talents, and how do you manage it? Can you tell us how that works? It really takes it to the next step, doesn't it?
That's correct. And there's really three steps in the process. The best thing to do is to create a profile of the position that you're looking for. And Predictive Index can help you do that. The people in the team, and you never want to have it be just one person or two people. You want to actually have your team of salespeople profile the position by picking out the kinds of skills and aptitudes they're looking for. PI helps you do this. You create a pro. Then you go out and you interview people against that pattern, which you know is the right pattern for the team that you have to have. Because in all honesty, Tom, different industries need different kinds of salespeople. If you were going to be a salesperson for Medtronic, you'd be a different kind of salesperson than you would be for Best Buy. So predictive index helps people build a profile, hire against it to get the best group of candidates. And then once they're part of the team, they can use another assessment tool called a selling skills assessment tool.
So let's stop for a moment there. Now, you're telling me that if you're a retail operation and your salespeople are selling B2C, business to consumer, that's going to take one type of person, where if you're, say, a wholesale supply house and you're selling B2B, that's going to take a little different type of salesperson. Is that right?
Often it does. And that's the art and the science behind the whole process. You truly want to be able to look at the best personality as well as the best skills in that particular area. If you're a salesperson for Medtronic, you need to have a very high knowledge of medicine, the people you're talking to, doctors, hospitals, other organizations, that research labs that may use the equipment that you've got. And if you're at Best Buy, you need to have the same sort of technical aptitude for stereos and TVs and home theater.
And people skills, so that you can deal with the consumers.
That's correct.
And then I would assume if you're selling steel and you have to go deal with contractors, that takes a whole other little edge on a personality.
It really does. And so by using each one of these tools in the process, this 1, 2, 3, a profile, a predictive index survey, and a selling skills assessment tool, you can really hone a fabulous sales team.
What if I don't have an established sales team? Maybe I've had a lot of turnover. I don't have a real profile yet. How would I build? I mean, I would assume you'd build one over time, but how do you get started?
You sit down with the business owner and interview them and ask them what they're trying to do. You go through that kind of process?
Well, that's a very good idea, to sit down with somebody, to talk to them about it. We, however, have a consumer-focused selling seminar. As a matter of fact, there's three of them all together that you can use at different times, working with us, working with your company.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly these days, it is becoming more and more apparent, as people are getting more and more sophisticated, that you really are not out there to sell a product or sell a service. You are out there to sell a solution. Again, going back to the example with Medtronic, there's nobody out there on the corner hawking pacemakers. You are out there trying to save people's lives. I mean, you're trying to
picture.
Yeah, imagine that.
And they're actually in the operating room on occasion, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it really does take a different type of personality.
It takes a different type of personality. And even the same thing, too, with the Best Buy analogy. I mean, you want to have the person in the right setting to do the right job.
Okay, let's get to an example here. Let's say I'm a manufacturer and I've got half a dozen salespeople and they're out there hawking my products, and we never seem to reach our annual sales goals, and I'm a little frustrated. I think I've got good people, and I come to you and I say, okay, where do we start? How can you help me? Can you walk me through that example?
The selling skills assessment tool is fantastic for benchmarking your entire team, whether you have an existing sales program already or whether we help you develop one. In comparing this assessment to a Dale Carnegie program or a SPIN program, which is also popular, just two that people are pretty familiar with, there are 5 steps in the selling process that most people in the business agree to. One would be the open or establishing rapport with people. The second step would be investigative, where you're actually asking questions, listening quite intently for opportunities to be able to see how your product might be able to provide a solution. But the investigative piece is on an initial level, where you're asking questions about the team and what you're trying to do, but also asking other kinds of questions that would be open-ended and try to get a little bit more information about what they're really looking for. The third step in the process is presentation. That's when most people out there doing sales either do the PowerPoint presentation and the demo, or they do a proposal. It might be an RFP process, that sort of thing. So there's a number of different types of presentations that you might do in that particular area. So that gives you another whole variety of opportunities to test people's skills, their speaking skills, their presentation skills, their writing skills. The fourth step is actually getting the sale. And we call it gaining agreement.
Okay.
Because you don't really want to sell somebody. None of us want to be sold to. None of us want the hard sell.
But none of us trust it.
But Americans love to buy. They do. And the whole idea is to appeal quite emotionally to the buy side, not come off really heavy-handed with the sell side. And the last step that I particularly enjoy helping people do a good job at is position. Once you've made the sale, it's not good enough then, again, to run out the door with your pacemaker and try to sell it on the corner again. What's really important is to be able to then cross-sell within an organization or cross-service the existing clients you have with other products that you might have. So that positioning piece ends up being that sales annuity. How do you keep the customers that you've got now years into the future?
Now back to our example of the manufacturer with the sales team. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the sales process. Mm-hmm. If I bring you into my organization, I've got a half dozen salespeople. I want to improve our productivity. I want to reach our goals. You sit down with them and have them fill out this selling skills assessment tool?
That's right.
How long does that take and how in-depth is that?
It takes about 25 minutes. It's a number of different scenarios. It's actually questions about a scenario, and you get to choose different responses. It's not that any response is wrong. It's that different responses elicit different behaviors.
Okay, well, we've already got the predictive index. We've already determined we have good salespeople.
Sure.
What does the sales skill assessment tool tell us that the PI didn't tell us?
It tells us that some people are very good at establishing a rapport and doing the investigation piece. There are people like Sam who'll sit and chat with you all day long and really enjoy getting to know you and your business.
Your productivity just went to heck, Sam.
And then there are other people who are much better at closing, actually doing the presentation, finding the solutions, and getting people's agreement. So what happens when you give a test, let's just say to 24 people, there are going to be people that are going to be different skill levels in those five areas, but they might have the same score. Sam and I might have the same score. Let's just say for conversation, we get 50 on the test. It scores 1 to 100. The average, by the way, nationally is in the mid-60s, 63%. So even veteran salespeople don't often score very high in this particular test. But let's just say Sam and I both got 50. She could be very, very good at the chatty beginning end of it, establishing rapport, asking
where
questions.
She's got her priorities.
Well, I think she's probably good at asking for the deal.
And as it turns out, I test out at being a little bit better with the close and positioning myself to be a service provider, a trusted advisor, and gaining agreement. So we'd be a fantastic sales team.
So Sam opens the door and you get the kill.
Poof! And that's really important for a sales division vice president, because if he has 24 people working for him, there's no way everybody is going to be 100% in each area. They could be 100% in one or two areas or three areas, but the reality is that nobody's ever scored 100% on the whole test. There is no perfect salesperson out there. And again, it depends highly on the kind of sales process you have in the industry that you practice in.
No, I haven't done the sales assessment, but I'm curious because I know when I did do the PI, like you.
I did too, but they won't show it to me. So,
I'll show it to you, Tom.
She will. But I was interested because you could put down. You said it's how you resonate with the words, and so I could have, thought ahead and thought, well, this word means this, and if all these words are in this kind of a category, then I'll pick those.
I probably don't want to overthink this. You want to just...
Well, Sam, that's what I'm wondering with the sales.
Sam is presenting a challenge, actually, to me, because we actually have...
Sam always presents a challenge to me.
Keeps you on your toes.
Yes,
organizational
ma'am.
Organizational development people are very astute when it comes to people like that, Sam, not like you, who want to game a test. Mm-hmm. You can game a test. The reality is about 4% of people ever try to do it.
Because why bother?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you can actually hurt yourself if you think you're smarter than the test or the survey or the questions, because in actuality, this has been around for 55 years.
I would think you'd want to tell them, don't overthink this, just answer the questions, be yourself, let's figure this out.
And the selling skills assessment tool has been around for almost 10 years, and there's tons of validity studies on it.
She's holding up the validity studies.
I brought them just in case anybody wanted to read the, six-page technical overview.
Hard to see that on this here radio, but that's all right. Back to our example. We started with the PI, and we've determined we have a half a dozen good salespeople in our sales organization. Mm-hmm. Now we've taken the selling skills assessment tool assessment, and we've taken that test and figured out some are good at opening, some are good at closing, some are maybe better at taking care of the count after the fact, even though they're all skilled salespeople, or so we think. Now that we found out who everyone is, what's the next step? Is that when we go into this customer-focused selling process?
It could be.
What do you do with all the knowledge? Where do we go with that?
That's an excellent question, because in fact, it's the perfect time to assess the skills of the entire team and say, oh my gosh, statistically, even veteran salespeople are not good at investigation. There are different levels of depth of information that you want to get. People don't always ask open-ended questions. And I learned in the process not to ask why.
Oh,
I started out life learning that you go who, what, when, where, why, and how when you interview somebody.
Journalist?
Yes. The why puts people on the defense. So it's not a good way to open up a conversation to ask people, well, why did you do that? Or why did you decide that? Or it's not
Sounds
the best
like a
way.
Challenge.
It's more of a challenge, exactly.
Now you brought up research. And on your sales team today, if you've got those half a dozen real sales people out there, there's so much information available on the internet today about potential clients that research piece, I think, is hugely important, because the more you can know about your customer, the more you can learn about what they do, the more you can help them solve problems with whatever it is you're selling, be it service or product. So how does that research piece fit into that sales team? Is that another personality that you add to the team to provide the research?
That's very astute of you to pick up on that, because you'd be surprised how many people don't do their homework. They don't do the research on the company. They walk in there and they make assumptions about what kind of business you're in. And I'll use Medtronic.
Those kind of salespeople are out the door in 5 minutes. I mean, it just doesn't work today, as my observation.
Well, I remember having a heated discussion once with a Big Four partner, a CPA, about Medtronic. And they were insisting that Medtronic belonged in the healthcare industry and not the manufacturing industry. And that's what I mean by understanding who your client is. Don't make any assumptions about what you think they do. Find out truly what they...
From their point of view, what
exactly.
They think.
And if you can't figure it out, there's SIC codes to help you out.
We've seen those.
And blogs nowadays.
So now we've done all this research. We've done the PI. We've done the selling skills assessment tool. Let me put my teeth back in. Now the next step is to provide some training to make that sales organization work better. To work like a well-oiled machine?
Absolutely, because you will see when you get the results of all 24 people who's good in what specific area, and you'll also be able to see what the whole organization needs. You may find out the whole organization needs to be better at closing. That's why your sales are down. They're not doing a good job at identifying needs. And the real key to the whole process is to do the process in sequence: rapport building, investigation, presentation, then go in for the close or gaining agreement, and then positioning yourself as a trusted advisor ongoing so that you don't lose the customer after the first sale, but that you continue to have repeat sales and even better referrals.
So when you're working with a client and you've gathered all this data and you know what they need, then do you provide some customized training to help further organize that team and to help them start working together in a more proficient manner?
We can do that, as a matter of fact. Once you've done the SSAT, it's fantastic to do the customer-focused selling module, the training program, because they start to see how all these pieces can come together with the individual person who's taken the test. There may be 2 or 3 weak spots that those individual people can focus on, and then finally use the PI as the final coaching tool. If one or five people are weak in one area, some ongoing performance support systems or coaching is the best way to go.
You know, this all sounds like some very valuable material between the PI and the SSAT and the customer-focused selling. But is there a training piece here for the business owner, for the person who's supervising the sales team? He's got to, that person has to understand, what is all this that you just did for me? How do I read it? How do I use it?
I like to think of it, Tom, as the power of three. And I'm more than happy to do executive briefings for organizations, for divisions of bigger companies, and for family-based businesses that are trying to figure out how this might help them. That assessment, that conversation is complementary. It's a way to explain to people how this set of powerful tools can actually make their business more productive. I have case studies with me here this morning that show firms that we've worked with around the world who, when they use this process, can increase their services and products 18% in 1 year, 44% in 2 years. It really does work. And it's not a complicated process again. It's a five-step process. And time again, if you look back at losing a sale, you can identify which step in the process you didn't do well.
So you've collected up in this process a lot of really fascinating, important information. But you really have to teach the business owner and the manager how to use that information and implement the plan and supervise the plan, don't you?
Absolutely. And as I said, we have lots of case studies and sales performance studies that corroborate that this process does work.
And you could coach the executives, and there's coaches that help them through this process.
Absolutely. I think it's
knowing how to read the information, I would think, is invaluable in figuring out how to use it.
Well, we actually put at least one person at an organization in-house and train them. And that really becomes the evangelist or the champion of these tools in-house, so that there's always somebody that they can go to for help in analyzing the information and in coming up with the best career development or talent development program.
Meg, these sound like really valuable tools and a lot different than the tools that were available. Apparently, it was available 35 years ago when I started hiring people, but back then they were gut calls and reactions, and this is really a scientific method of figuring out who are these people and how you put them in the place where they can succeed, and how do you manage them, and how do you help them gain the skills necessary so that they can be successful a sales team in your organization. Meg, this has been fascinating. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. We're about out of time for today. I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgi Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Meg Roy, the president of the leadership group at Lurie Besikoff, Lapidus & Company, for joining us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. You can listen weekly to Today's Business Radio every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 7:20 on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. Tom and myself, Jay Coles, discuss business ownership topics to help business owners, entrepreneurs, and top-level executives build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for their eventual sale. That's every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:20 a.m. on the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.